How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Headlines across the region this morning, as we know that our great sanitation workers, they're out collecting all that garbage, tons of garbage. Today is day one. So lucky you if trash day is Monday. My trash day, unfortunately, is Friday, which means it'll be more than 3 weeks because they started this strike on the 1st. But remember, then you back up to the following week. So it looks like everything's going well. But they are asking for patience as they make their way. And a lot of the trucks are full. So then they have to bring in another truck and that sort of thing. But they said, don't worry, we will get to it. My only concern is that, in fact, they're voting. DC 33, the union, is voting starting today through the week. And then 1 week from today, next Monday, they'll ratify and announce that it's a done deal. So cross your fingers. I hope everything goes well because we've heard some rumblings. That's one of the many local stories, but I will say there's another, a couple of other stories. There are distraught families trying to get news about their loved ones after that fire. Flames tore through a senior care home in Massachusetts.
Oh, no.
Overnight, from late last night into this morning, they held a news conference, the officials there, and they said that the flames took the lives of at least 9 people. Firefighters were able to rescue many of these terrified, elderly, sick residents, some of them hanging out of windows, just surrounded by the black smoke and the flames moving very quickly. I mean, it's just a horrifying scene in the state of Massachusetts. It's just, oh, gosh. And you hate to see this. And the firefighters, so compassionate. We have one person in critical condition, 30 people hospitalized, and 5 firefighters had to be treated. They're being treated in the hospital just for smoke inhalation because these firefighters are rushing in there and they're risking their lives. You know, they're seeing people hanging out of windows and, you know, and all of that. And so, man, you hate to see something like that.
Can you imagine being the nurses in that home and thinking like, oh my gosh.
No, it's just a jam-packed.
Wow.
Jam-packed facility there. So we don't have the cause of the fire. It's under investigation. And it's Fall River, which is a small town. It's outside of Providence, Rhode Island, on the Massachusetts side of the border, I should say. So it's about 20 miles southeast of Providence, Rhode Island, but it's on the Massachusetts side. It's called Fall River, if you're familiar. 94,000 people, smaller area, but lots of, you know, grandparents and great-grandparents. And just hate to hear about that situation.
Can I ask you what the hell's going on with parents today?
What?
Making a complete detour.
What happened?
Local story. We're talking about a horrific situation up there in Massachusetts, but one played out here at FDR Park in South Philadelphia with a slide. Did you see this? With a kid hanging off a slide?
Yeah.
And did you want to explore this
yes.
at all? Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, take a watch.
FDR Park may have spared a young boy from serious injury. An Action News viewer sent us this video of the child climbing on top of that tube slide at Anna Verna Playground, and he fell. But thanks to the quick reflexes of some onlookers at the reunion, the boy is okay. Action News photojournalist Dave Edwards shares the story.
I saw this park, and I was like, man, that's amazing how, you know, how big those slides are, how nice it looks with all the silver and everything. Yesterday, under this pavilion over here, we were having our family reunion. I was over there playing cards, and I heard somebody yell out, he's on the outside. And when I heard him say he's on the outside, I actually turned around to try to see what was going on. And I saw a kid, and he was climbing up this slide, but he was on the top of it. He was 3. He could have been no older than 4. He was actually up towards that last joint up there. Me and a couple other people ran over. I yelled for him to stop. He actually stopped because I was thinking that if he could stop where he was, then someone could get in position to catch him. And when they yelled, come back down, he started to slide down, and that's when he fell.
Oh, my God.
I was actually thinking, oh, my goodness, I don't know if somebody's going to be able to catch him, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Even though it happened so fast, it was like it was moving in slow motion. The main thing was try to catch him, and I actually tried to run and catch him. But from my position where I wasn't able to get to him in time. Luckily, one of my cousins and another gentleman was there, and they were able to dive in.
Look at that. If you're watching that, that's amazing that the cousin was, I mean, I know he's an athlete. He played football or something because he runs the timing. You see this child falling. That's a huge, it's up like a couple stories. That slide, it's one of those tube slides. It reminds me of a water slide, you know,
yes.
Like in a pool. So you get in there. So I know now, what you're saying. You're being judgy of the parents.
I am. And I bring it to your attention because I know you often talk about how David and Michael were pretty squirrely growing up and would often sneak away. And I wonder, could you find yourself in a similar situation, or do you think this is a sign of bad parenting here?
Well, in this case, you know what the problem is? Like, we were down the shore and we had lots of family. And so, but when I'm in charge, like if you have a big family reunion, you have to name the person, like, okay, Dan, you're going to watch. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I take that very seriously, especially if they're swimming. But in this case, I'll bet you money that mom and dad, because it's a big family reunion, auntie so-and-so or cousin so-and-so, oh, I'll take him over to the swing or to the slide. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think that family member has him, but you yourself would make sure that he's in the slide and goes down properly.
Does look like someone's like trying to climb up after them too here.
So that's probably, I will warn you, because you and Maisie in October, this is going to be your life. Now, you have a little girl. Girls are usually a little better, but you never know. Like, kids are fast. They're fast, and they've got a plan, and they're smart.
But boys are so much worse than girls.
Boys, well, I won't say worse. It's just they're physical. And it depends on the boy. So here's the other problem. Your first kid, and you guys let me know, 855-839-1210. So Michael was never climbed. Like, he could. He walked and talked. He especially talked early.
Yeah.
But he just was, he would listen, right?
Okay.
So he never climbed. I had all these baby gates. Remember last week, I was a spokesperson for Dream Baby.
Yeah.
Right? So I had baby gates. I had everything. He was just like,
just chill.
He was just chill. He listened. He's a rule follower, which is makes sense why he's, you know, going for, by the way, to be in law enforcement, right? Then David comes along. David was a freaking monkey. My dad actually called him, like, Dad, could you please not call the baby monkey? But he did. He called him little monkey because David was a climber. And he was like 9 months old. He's like climbing up everything. The kid was amazing.
Do you have like banisters in the home?
Oh yeah, he was up he climbed anything he could.
Yeah, that's scary.
He'd climb up on the car. He still climb. Like, David, you're 6'3". You know what I mean? 180. Could you please not climb on
the top of
the new Piazza automobile? No, the car. He loves, you know, climbing the car. So it's easy to judge, but just wait. You know, because they're fast.
Yeah.
You have to watch them. Like this weekend.
That's like a really high up there.
Yeah.
You know.
I was in charge so David was with Emmy and I was watching Timmy, who's just 4.5,
mm-hmm.
and Lily. You know what I mean? So when you're watching kids who are younger and then the lifeguards are moving over the flags, please, please, God, make sure everybody swims in between the green flags in Ocean City. And I was like a hawk. You know what I mean? Like, the lifeguards are loving me because I'm like, I'm in the water like waist deep, but I'm like, you're not going out further because they're on my watch.
Yeah. Yeah, we just watched a 4 and a 2-year-old yesterday. And like, I'm just speaking from the experience of like when we were watching them, there's no way that me nor Maisie's eyes would be off of the children.
No, you have to
the point where it gets to that level where they're climbing up all the way.
But that's the thing about when we talk about all of this parenting, if you are let's say you're a full-time stay-at-home parent, then you relate to this, that you would rather go to a job, any job in the world, because when you're a parent, especially if a baby or a young child, it's consuming. You cannot turn away for a minute. You can't talk on your phone and look at your phone. It's consuming.
It is.
And we don't appreciate stay-at-home, especially moms. Generally, it's the mom, but sometimes it's the dad.
Mm-hmm.
But usually we just should never have diminished our role. But if I go on my rant, I'm just going to shut up here. But the truth is, It's because of a narrative. These narratives are not anything new. The narrative began, my mom would talk about all this all the time, that she, you know, the narrative against stay-at-home mothers began way back in the day because they wanted to diminish traditional roles of moms. And think about what we're dealing with right now, fake news, poor nutrition. We're dealing with the media, kids, education, mental health crisis. Think about everything we're talking about did not exist. Because you go, oh, but what happened? What happened around, you know, the 1960s, 70s, early 70s? What happened? In part, and that's my book that my husband, you know, has always said I should write, which is The Women's Movement is a Scam, ! In other words, the women's movement had a narrative that it, unless you go out and you get your education and you as a woman go get your career and you don't need a man, it's that sort of opposition to men, like men are the enemy, which they're not. And you need to go out and you need to be you and you need to be equal and demand da 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 da. That's the women's movement. And so the women's movement made those women, those awesome women who kept our families healthy, kept our families together. We didn't have the divorce rate we had. Do you know what I'm saying? Women were everything. But instead of holding them up on the pedestal they deserve to be on, the media and the women's movement and the left made women feel like if you're a mom and a stay-at-home mom, you're a loser. You're just a housewife. That's what they did to our families, to our society. And so now, do you know who ended all of that? So it went all the way cray-cray to cray-cray over the cliff, right, with the whole trans, and we're going to give little kids invasive surgeries and cut off body parts. You know who ended all of that? Donald J. Trump, because he called out the narrative, and it's over. That whole thing that started in the 50s and 60s, and it took somebody who understood that. Trump did. So it's over, right? It's done. 855-839-1210. You get me started on these rants. I know you wind me up and let me go.
I don't mean to dig up old audio or anything, but is that not kind of what Harrison Butker was saying when he was canceled? I guess coming from a man, it's much different, right?
I never canceled.
Well, I know you didn't. I'm just saying the media in general, you know, the way he was essentially shunned away for suggesting that women could also be homemakers.
Can you remind us of what he said?
Well, I have him clarifying the statement here. Do you want the original?
The original.
Yeah, let me get the original here. Actually, we should probably go to break, but we could have that after the break. Yes.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking news, President Trump in the Oval Office. Listen in, he's speaking.
At Mark's suggestion, if we go to Germany where they're going to send early on missiles.
Yeah.
And they'll be replaced, and NATO is going to take care of it. It's going to be coordinated by NATO, and they're going to work very much with Matt Whitaker, who's right here. He's a great ambassador, and Matt's going to be coordinating. You better do a good job, Matt.
I will.
But Matt's going to coordinate. He's a very talented guy. He's going to coordinate everything. So in a nutshell, we're going to make top-of-the-line weapons, and they'll be sent to NATO. NATO may choose to have certain of them sent to other countries where we can get a little additional speed, where the country will release something and it'll be mostly in the form of a replacement. And I'd like to have Mark, and again, just a highly respected, pretty young guy, for having had the career that he's had, because he had an amazing career before going to NATO. So and we spent a lot of time together over the last couple of months. And if you could say a few words.
Absolutely. No, Mr. President, dear Donald, this is really big. This is really big. You called me on Thursday that you had taken a decision. And the decision is that you want Ukraine what it needs to have to maintain, to be able to defend itself against Russia, but you do want Europeans to pay for it, which is totally logical. And this is building on the tremendous success of the NATO summit, the 5%. but also the decision to keep Ukraine strong and the decision to increase our defense industrial production. So based on that, that was Europe stepping up. This is again Europeans stepping up. So I've been in contact with many countries. I can tell you that at this moment, Germany massively, but also Finland and Denmark and Sweden and Norway, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Canada, they all want to be part of this. And this is only the first wave. There will be more. So what we will do is work through the NATO systems to make sure that we know what Ukrainians need, so that we can make packages. Of course, in a way, we discussed it this morning with Pete Hegseth at the Pentagon, in a way that, of course, the U.S. Will put on its stockpiles necessary to defend this country. That's absolutely clear. But it will mean that Ukraine can get its hands on really massive numbers of military equipment, both for air defense, but also missiles, ammunition, etc., etc.
I got it.
So if I was Vladimir Putin today and hear you speaking about what you are planning to do in 50 days and this announcement, I would reconsider whether I should not take negotiations about Ukraine more seriously than I was doing at the moment, if I was Vladimir Putin. But when I'm Ukraine, I think this is really great news for that. So I really want to thank you for that. And it means the Europeans paying for it. And again, I mentioned all these countries, we will deal with that. And exactly as you said, it might also mean that countries will move equipment fast into Ukraine and then the US later backfilling it because speed is of the essence here. So really, thank you. This is important.
You did a great job. That's a really great job. We've been very successful in settling wars. You have India, Pakistan. You have Rwanda and the Congo. That was going on for 30 years. India, by the way, and Pakistan would have been a nuclear war within another week, the way that was going. That was going very badly. And we did that through trade. I said, we're not going to talk to you about trade unless you get this thing settled. And they did. And they were both great, great leaders. And they were great. But Rwanda and the Congo, that was going on for 30 years. And at least 7 million people killed, and killed with a lot of pretty rough weapons like machetes. Heads chopped off, going on for many years. You couldn't even get near the countries. Nobody wanted to get near. It's so frightening. And we got that one solved. Serbia, Kosovo, got that solved. That was going to be one that was going to happen. And again, that was something I used. I used trade for a lot of things, but it's great for settling wars. That was really very important. We're working, Marco is working very hard with everybody here on the Strip, the Gaza Strip. I call it the Gaza Strip, one of the worst real estate deals ever made. They gave up the oceanfront property, one of the worst deals ever made. But it was supposed to bring peace, and it didn't bring peace. It brought the opposite. But we're doing pretty well on Gaza. Steve Witkoff is here, and I think we could have something fairly soon to talk about. And we solved another one, that we just seem to have, Armenia and Azerbaijan. It looks like that's going to come to a conclusion, successful conclusion. We worked on Egypt with a next-door neighbor who is a good neighbor. They're friends of mine, but they happened to build a dam which closed up water going into a thing called the Nile. I think if I'm Egypt, I want to have water in the Nile. And we're working on that one problem. But it's going to get solved. They built one of the biggest dams in the world, a little bit outside of Egypt. You know about that. You've been hearing about that one. And that turned out to be a big problem. I don't know. I think the United States funded the dam. I don't know why they didn't solve the problem before they built the dam. But it's nice when the Nile River has water. They, you know, it's a very important source of income and life. It's the life of Egypt. And to take that away is pretty incredible. But we think we're going to have that solved very quickly. So we do good. The only one we haven't been able to get to yet is Russia. And I'm not happy. And I will tell you that Ukraine wants to do something. Again, it's a war that should have never started. If I were president, it never would have happened. I used to speak to President Putin about it a lot. It was the apple of his eye. But once I saw what was going on, I said, you know, they're gonna have a war here. I was outside. Election was rigged. I was outside looking in, and I said, you know, that thing's going to be a war. Couldn't believe it, because what Biden said was the exact opposite of what should have been said. And it started, and It's a real mess. We're losing, I guess they're losing 5,000 or 6,000 people a day. It's actually now more. I was saying 5,000 a day. It's actually more now. Mostly soldiers, but a lot of people in cities and towns that are getting blown up too. It's a horrible war, and it should be stopped. And so if it's not done, if we don't have an agreement in 50 days, that's what we're doing. Secondary tariffs, and they're biting. And I hope we don't get to the point where we do, but I've been hearing so much talk. It's all talk. It's all talk, and then missiles go into Kiev and kill 60 people. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. But the purpose of this is to say that this is a very big deal we've made. This is billions of dollars worth of military equipment is going to be purchased from the United States, going to NATO, et cetera. And that's going to be quickly distributed to the battlefield. Ukraine will take it up. And, you know, say what you want about Ukraine. When the war started, they had no chance. And they still would have had no chance if the equipment they had the best equipment. Because we do make the best planes and missiles. And we make the best military equipment in the world by far. You know, we have new things coming out that are beyond belief. And I'm very excited about the Golden Dome. It's going to give us very strong protection. We've already started that. But they had courage, because somebody has to use that equipment. And they fought with tremendous courage, and they continue to fight with tremendous courage. But they don't have, they're losing on equipment, and Russia's really taken a very positive, very, very strong, I mean, what they've done the last couple of weeks.
Without military allegiance, that's what they are doing. Right. 700 drones a day, missiles, bombing cities. This is not because of military goals. It is just creating panic,
hitting towns.
People out of their sleeps, hitting towns. Yeah. It's really terrible, and it is meaning a lot of people lose their lives, but also the infrastructure, whole cities being
destroyed. They're wiping out the electric. It's going to take years to rebuild it. That's going to be the next problem. Because, but that's going to take a long time. Cities, many of the cities are knocked down to the ground. Many of the people have left. But many have stayed. I don't know. They actually stay. Most have stayed, actually. It's incredible that they stay, and knowing that a missile could be hitting your apartment house, and your apartment house that you're sitting in could collapse on top of you. And they do very heavy construction. They don't use rebar. They do very thick concrete construction. Those are heavy buildings, big buildings.
As somebody who built a lot of buildings.
Collapse, like they're made out of paper. It's unbelievable to see this happening with people. So many
President
people
Trump in the Oval Office, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte.
We hope we're going to make progress. In the meantime, we're going to get you good service on what you need. And we really became friendly with NATO this last meeting. You know, we went from 2% to 5%, which everyone said was not even a possibility. They weren't paying 2%. Many of them were paying much less than 2%.
But even those, since you became president, all committed to the 2% before the summit. And now
so we'll come back here as, you know, probably only the NATO Secretary General could jump in as he is. You kind of hear him, I'm not going to say interrupting because he waits for the president to pause. But I swear these two just have this really good relationship, especially after the NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. Remember that he's the one who called him daddy. I will, you know, hail to you, daddy. I'll point out to you a couple things as this is predicted. President Trump, frustrated with Russia, saying that they'll say the right things, but then unleash bombs at night. And so the U.S. now standing with their NATO allies, so they're in agreement. I think that's important as they're speaking out. And as well, I just want to point another thing out to you, that this is, it's Bastille Day. So Matt Whitaker, who he referred to, the U.S. ambassador to NATO, had put out this morning on social media, on this Bastille Day, we honor the enduring bond between the U.S. and France, our allies, uniting and defending freedom and securing peace together. We are strengthening NATO and advancing diplomacy that keeps our world safer. And then they have the hashtag, we are NATO. So happy National Day, as they're saying. So that's part of the reason I think this was a long planned trip. But you see to Trump's left on the couch there, you see nearest him, Vice President J.D. Vance. then Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and then DefSec Pete Hegseth, who you heard the NATO secretary saying, you know, that he had had a conversation with Hegseth. I can't see who's on the couch to the right of the NATO chief. Could you see who was on the couch to the right?
No, I was looking at a couple different images.
We never assume that you're watching on YouTube, even though you could. But I love to say who's in the room. Obviously, the media on the other side.
Here's a wide pan. I'm showing you only. Oh, no, over here, Doc.
Oh, sorry. You're showing me.
Yeah, just you. It's this guy here, but I don't recognize him. Oh, and I just lost my honor. Okay.
He mentioned his good friend, Hofstra alum, Steve Witkoff. Because, you know, I kind of wanted my son to go to, it was, you know, I love Hofstra. So if I'm mentioning colleges, I love his college choice. Nothing, but I was like, oh, Steve Witkoff went to Hofstra. But anyway.
If you give me 30 seconds, I can get that image up on the YouTube feed.
I think it might be Steve Witkoff. Is he to the immediate right of... our friend from NATO, the NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. It doesn't. It's all right. Yeah. I was just trying to give you that. I always want to paint the picture for you.
You're the best at doing that.
But you see that you get the feeling of how relaxed this is. They are having the conversation, and I almost feel like I'm a voyeur, if you will. Like, what's he saying now? Because what's he saying now?
We can do secondary. We're probably talking about 100% or something like that. We can do secondary tariffs without the Senate, without the House. But what they're crafting also could be very good.
So are you suggesting then that the Congress should move forward with those sanctions, the 500%, and that your 100 would be a separate additional package?
Yeah, I mean, the 500 is... you know, sort of meaningless.
Is that Jackie Heimer?
Because at a certain point, it doesn't matter. It's not going to be, you know, 100. 100 is going to serve the same function. But, yeah, I have it at 100%. They may have it. I don't know what they're going to end up with. They may have it at 102. They may have it at 500. But they're doing some good work in the House, and I think in the House and the Senate. And as you know, they're coordinated. And they can have it done quickly. They said they'll have it as quickly as I need it. So we'll see. We're talking to him. In fact, John Thune's coming over later on to talk. Yeah, he's gonna come over.
Thank you, Mr. President. Is it your view that Vladimir Putin mischaracterized his dedication to? Is it your view that Vladimir Putin did not clarify his intention to a peace deal?
Well,
and what happens now in the next phase? Is there?
We're going to see. I mean, we're going to go for a period of time. Maybe he'll start negotiating. And I think I felt, I don't know about you, Mark, but I felt that we had a deal about four times. Mm-hmm. And here we are still talking about it.
And he didn't send serious people to the negotiations. So I remember that you... were able with Marco Rubio and with Steve Witkoff to get these talks going in Istanbul.
Yep.
I remember I was myself in Turkey for NATO business in May, and we really put pressure on the Ukrainians to send a senior team into Istanbul, and they did. But then the Russians came up with this historian explaining history of Russia since 1250.
We thought, and I thought, we should have had a deal done a long time ago. But it just keeps going on and on and on. And
frustrating.
Every night people are dying. A lot of people, a lot of Russian soldiers are dying.
Thousands.
And
thousands a month.
Soldiers too. But a lot of Russian soldiers.
100,000 Russian soldiers since 1st of January. Since January. 100,000 Russian soldiers dead since January. So if anybody.
And a million casualties on both sides, injured and killed.
100,000 dead Russians since January. This is what President Putin is doing at the moment.
Yeah, please.
Will these be Patriot missiles specifically, or Patriot batteries?
He said Patriots earlier.
If
you listen,
come on, reporter.
It's Patriots. It's all of them. It's a full complement with the batteries.
And when do you expect them to arrive in Ukraine, sir?
Well, we're going to have some come very soon, within days, actually. It's a couple of the countries that have Patriots are going to swap over, and will replace the Patriots with the ones they have, and Matt will coordinate with NATO. But so it's going to be, they're going to start.
Matt Whitaker.
This afternoon, Boris Pistorius, the German defense minister, is visiting Pete Hegseth. the Secretary of Defense, and we'll discuss also, I think, on this whole Patriot thing. Norway is involved, so that's on the Patriots, but this whole deal is also about missiles or ammunition, so it's a broader than Patriots.
We have one country that has 17 Patriots getting ready to be shipped. They're not going to need them for them. So we're going to work a deal where the 17 will go, or a big portion of the 17 will go to the Warsaw.
Mr. President.
So there's President Trump just sort of riffing with the media. I believe that the first question he took, it looked like Jackie Heinrich wearing white, blonde. She's the Fox News White House correspondent. It would make sense that he took her as one of the first. She's probably the most, one of the most prominent day side other than, you know, Peter Ducey, because he's, I guess, off today. And so I'll just point, remind me, Dan, because I have to talk about the fact we mentioned it last week, but that she was got engaged in France it was during the big, beautiful bill vote right before that happened to locally Congressman Fitzpatrick. So just sort of that local connection, which took a lot of people by surprise. Here's my takeaway on this. I know. I'll digress. I know. Dan. Poor Dan. He hears the rants during the court. Anyway, so here's the thing I'll say. What strikes me, there's a reason that they're having this show of force. There's a reason they have, you know, the NATO, I know the biggity big, as I say, the NATO Secretary General. You see them coming together. They're saying NATO, the U.S., they're all united. And now they are arming Ukraine. And it was interesting because I thought it was just Patriots. So it turned out it was a good question to say, what's the weaponry? Get that on record. As he's saying, it's a whole complement. But the big thing that they're headlining, Patriot missiles. And so they're saying to Putin's exhausted. They got to be exhausted. They're running out of bodies, quite frankly, warm bodies. And this is a war that the Russians, the people, we've been told, if you want to believe it, that it's not popular for them because these are their neighbors. They, many of them, speak the same language. I don't know. Well, are they trying to also do a PR situation, a PR campaign where they're saying, all right, you lied to us four times. That's it. We're sending the Patriot missiles and now you can eat my missile. So there's that. I was reminded, I forgot about Whitaker. Do you remember he was in the Trump first administration? Very impressive. If you remember Matt Whitaker, who's the NATO, who's our guy to NATO, the NATO ambassador. Back then he had talked on, you know, the Sunday morning shows and that sort of thing about investigating Hillary Clinton. Great speaker. Another one I forgot about. You know, we have such a deep bench. When you look in that room and you see guys like, you know, boom, you've got J.D. Vance, Vice President, Marco Rubio, you've got Hegseth, you've got Whitaker. I mean, the list goes on and on with these super impressive individuals, and then bolstered by the wisdom and experience and loyal people like a Steve Witkoff, who has known Trump. I mean, they go way, way back, right? They go way back. And many of those other people from the private sector who've worked with Trump. So a really nice complement of
I do have some Whitaker.
You do? Let's hear.
He was on CNBC this morning and talked about this specific topic. Perfect. Of Ukraine. Here you go.
Ending the slaughter on the battlefield in Ukraine is the top priority. And bringing a ceasefire and then ultimately an enduring peace is the goal. And this package of sanctions certainly would be very strong. Now, I think the president's been pretty clear that the package needs to be at his discretion. It needs to be something that he can wield as appropriate and as necessary. But there is no doubt the way Russia continues the slaughter on the battlefield in Ukraine and continues to hit civilians in cities like Kyiv and Odessa is with oil revenue. And that oil revenue is primarily coming through oil distributed by the shadow fleet to countries like China and India. And those are the countries that ultimately would be sanctioned very heavily by this bill. And again, as long as it meets the president's needs, as the person who is constitutionally mandated to execute and deliver foreign policy, I think that provides a very strong tool and a stick with which the president can conduct foreign policy and hopefully bring this war to an end. Because at the end of the day, the killing needs to stop. The slaughter that we're seeing every single day of human beings for no gain. Russia has picked up 0.25% of Ukrainian territory over the last year. I mean, it's actually really catastrophic and sad.
And you heard Trump earlier as he has his checklist, essentially, and he talked about getting things done and bringing this all together. And so Russia weighing heavily on him as this drags on. Just a real quick note, because Whitaker spoke on CNBC about some of those numbers. And these numbers, what the tariffs are bringing in, we'll have to get to that to think about what's being raked in, better than expected numbers. Monthly, year to year, I have those numbers, so we'll get to that. And yes, so Dan has the picture of the engagement in lavender fields in the south, the beautiful south of France.
Oh, they're not poppy fields.
No. Lavender fields. Is that, there it is. So there's Jackie Heinrich of Fox News, and I didn't even know they were dating. And I usually know this stuff.
I had no idea.
I did not know. Did you know they were dating?
No,
I did not know.
No.
With our local congressman, who some of you love to hate, Brian Fitzpatrick, because he is the only Republican who's been able to hang on in the so-called collar counties in Bucks County. But they fly to Nice, which is beautiful, south of France, where he has drones videoing and gets on one knee and pops the question. And she says yes in this beautiful romantic moment. And then he realizes that he has to fly back and cut their 10-day vaco short because he's got to go back to Washington at the time and vote for the big, beautiful bill. If it's me, I wish he had just stayed. He should have just stayed in the lavender fields.
Yeah, right.
With Jackie.
Excuse.
More people, more of your voters, here's a pro tip, would have said, oh, well, he's in love and he's with the beautiful Jackie Heinrich.
Wait.
And you know what I mean? A little
so
too much
wine. So you're
telling
me he planned this engagement. He wanted to make the political point so much that he left.
Yeah.
His
Yo, pro tip. People be like, eh, well, it is on, Jackie. He's like 20 years older than her. Like, he's in his 50s. She's in her like early 30s. It would have been a great excuse. I was in love. I was intoxicated.
You think she was encouraging him coming back to Washington?
I don't know. But he didn't vote. You know, he voted against twice. Dude, just stay there. We didn't need you here, but he had to vote against. But then he voted for the ironically named joke of a bill with Biden with that disaster. Don't even get me started. And so I've defended him. Dan, you're my witness. I'm the only one, right? All mm-hmm. of you want to hate him. You should have seen my stinking phone that day, like all of our group texts, right? We have so many group with our Amalfi group and our Tuscany group, our Italy groups, our Trump 47, our Trumpaholic. Like, I've got so many. My husband's like, Dawn, what is your phone? I'm like, oh, my God, OMG, he voted against. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of hatred for him, I'm telling you. Who needs social media? I've got you guys. Man, I know we have to take a break.
I feel bad for Jackie. I mean,
I know, Jackie. You know,
it's a beautiful engagement, all said and done, but it's, yeah, not a good look.
Serious.
Yeah.
What dude would leave her in the south of France? Like, she just said yes. Stay there. Pro tip. This guy can't get it right. I'm just saying. 855-839-1210. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
One of the reasons that you're here today is to hear that we are very unhappy, I am, with Russia. But we'll discuss that maybe a different day. But we're very, very unhappy with them, and we're going to be doing very severe tariffs if we don't have a deal in 50 days. Tariffs at about 100%. You'd call them secondary tariffs. You know what that means. But today we're going to talk about something else. And as you know, we've spent $350 billion approximately on this war with Russia and Ukraine. And would like to see it end. It wasn't my war. It was Biden's war. It's not my war. I'm trying to get you out of it. And we want to see it end. And I'm disappointed in President Putin because I thought we would have had a deal 2 months ago, but it doesn't seem to get there. So based on that, we're going to be doing secondary tariffs. If we don't have a deal in 50 days, it's very simple. And they'll be at 100%. And that's the way it is. That can be more simple. It's just the way it is. I hope we don't have to do it.
So that was off the top, Trump talking about that. And by the way, as President Trump is speaking with General Mark Rutte, first trip to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, by the way, he's the one who called him Daddy. And I will say this, tariff news, in June alone, last month, customs duties reporting raking in the tariff money, the Trump tariff money, $27 billion. Remember, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent had expected $300 billion by the fall. So the tariff revenues are just coming in at much higher rates. And that's year to year overall historic. I was just looking through those numbers, and that's CNBC reporting on that. And Dan, I forgot what the second soundbite was.
Auto pen, if you want it.
Yeah.
Here you go.
New revelations from that.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the auto pen. Look, the auto pen, I think, is maybe one of the biggest scandals that we've had in 50 to 100 years. This is a tremendous scandal. And I know the people on the other side of the, see that desk, that Resolute desk? Unfortunately, he used it before me. But, you know, we have our choice of seven desks. They're all beautiful. But I chose the Resolute, and so did he, unfortunately. But the people on the other side of the Resolute desk, I know them. Lisa, the whole group, and they're no good. They're sick people. And I guarantee you he knew nothing about what he was signing. I guarantee it. So they're going to figure it out, and we'll see what happens. But,
and many of you have said as much, that you're suspicious about it. But the question is, what are you going to do about it to make sure it never happens?
He called you daddy.
Yeah, today's news conference, what it's proof of, first of all, this level of just comfortability. And I think that says a lot. This is not uptight. It doesn't seem construed. It seems very real. So if you're Putin and you're watching this, I don't think that there's any bluster here. This is the real deal. NATO, the U.S., everybody's on the same page. There's no more friction. That's the picture they're painting here. And then also to say, all right, we are done. We're done with the talk. You want to sweet talk, basically, and then do bombs at night to Ukraine? Okay, Putin. Well, we're sending over our Patriots. So there it is. And we're all on the same page. We have that going on. So this is a big image that they're trying to portray. And I suspect that they are hoping, as Trump keeps saying, he's hoping for peace. He wants to cut all these deals and make this happen. He also wants the resolution to the tariffs, because remember, tariffs are the excuse, if you will. That's what Jerome Powell at the Fed keeps saying, that the tariffs create all of this uncertainty. So I think they know naturally that the sooner they get all of this done, get any uncertainty out of the headlines, and perhaps then, despite really great, by all accounts, great economic reports, I think that then we'll see these lowering of the Fed rates. And we could see three this year. Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful for all of us? You know, your average credit cards now, whether it's a store card, Visa, MasterCard, the bank cards, they're up to, if you have a credit card besides your debit card, these rates are up 27%, 28%, up to 30%. And so think about in your own life how that hinders you in your own life. Maybe it's a car payment you pay in interest, or you're not buying, right, because you don't want to put something on credit or whatever. And so essentially it has the same chilling effect, and it's upping that bill for our unfortunate, for the budget deficit. Right?
I think if Jerome Powell stepped down, it would be a great thing. I don't know that he's going to, but he should. Jerome Powell's been very bad for our country. We should have the lowest interest rate on earth, and we don't. He just refuses to do it, and yet he's spending $2.5 billion rebuilding the Fed, the Federal Reserve building. And I don't know what he knows about building, but you talk about cost overrun. So he got this approved, and he started the work during the Biden administration. And he doesn't look like the kind of a guy, frankly, that wants to spend $2.5 billion
And it's very interesting because out of 71 economists, one person, me, and then
he goes
one
on
other
for another
person,
minute, but we got to get rolling.
Yeah, part of this he was talking about. So just so you know what he's referencing, that in fact Friday it was announced, the Office of Management and Budget Director Russell Vaught. He says they've launched an investigation, a probe into these highly expensive renovations at the Federal Reserve Building. Jerome Powell, remember, a Trump appointee, has denied anything political or anything wrong, but that is going on as we speak. That was launched Friday afternoon as we left. Dom Giordano is in the house. Dom, there's so much developing today. What a breaking news Monday it is.
Absolutely, Dawn. And Bill O'Reilly's here. He talked with President Trump recently about Epstein, and he'll also talk the deal on Russia.
Great Dom show just ahead.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.